And we, amen, thank you. And we had to switch things around some because of conversation that we're going to have and the people that are going to be involved in it. Praise be unto God. So today we are going to be talking about marriages. We're going to be talking about marriages. And I have asked two couples to represent marriages from a different era almost. One is Kyle and Kia Foster. Yay! Praise be unto God. Amen, amen, amen. Which is from our contemporary family, the today, the millennium children, praise be unto God. And so that is the couple there. The next couple would be Denise and Bill Medley. And y'all don't know Bill, but Bill is Denise's husband, praise be unto God. Hallelujah. And so they are from a different era. Amen. And so what we are attempting to do in having this marriage discussion is to find out the what changes basically has been when it comes to marriage and how, however, but I'm not going to talk because I want them to get going and get as much as we can get in. And I want to introduce to y'all who y'all already know another wonderful couple that's going to be officiating, and that is Mark, Elder Mark and Minister Tabika Garnes. Amen. They are going to be officiating it. And so we will have the questions. These two couples will answer the questions that are put before them. And we want to thank Bill. And Bill, be careful. He is driving home from church. And he's driving home from, and that's why we switch things around to give him a chance to get out of church. So he's driving home from church, so he isn't able to be with us. And so we're going forth. Mark and Tabika, it is in your hands. And Bill, unmute your phone. Oh, I'm sorry. First thing, the Kia and yeah, Kia and baby boy, Kyle. I want you two to introduce yourselves, tell how long you've been married, and how did you meet? And then Denise, you and your husband do the same thing. Then Mark and Tabika take over from there. Amen.
Hi,
Hey, baby.
everybody.
Hey, so good to see
Hello. It's good to see everybody. I
you.
haven't seen faces in a while. Okay, anyway. I'm Kia Foster.
I'm Kyle.
We will be married 9 years in October.
Amen.
And how did we meet? You want to tell the story? What?
I'll let you tell it.
I'll tell my version of the story. Okay.
Okay.
I was singing in a singing group, and we had a rehearsal, and we were introduced to the new keyboard player. I was talking to him, trying to,
Okay.
welcome him into the group. I have a very welcoming personality. I was just talking to him, and he was being sarcastic with me, and so.
Yes.
See, the person said yes. So as the rehearsals went on, I'm slightly older than him, but I noticed I was starting to like him a little bit. I liked his personality. Let me backtrack. We had a rehearsal one day. They asked him to pray us out. This is where it starts. And if you know Kyle, you know Kyle.
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't know Kyle at that point. So I said, oh, hang around, give us some little generic, may the Lord watch between me and thee as we depart from this place. So we're gonna be out of here. And this man started praying, and I'm like, what's happening here? And I was intrigued after that, but I was like, I can't like him. This little boy, that's all I kept saying. I don't like him. He too young. I can't do that. But then I would find myself getting to rehearsal early because this is before he was driving and I knew what time his bus was going to come. So I would get to rehearsal early and just be standing around like, yip-de-dee, yip-de-dee. Hey, Kyle's fancy meeting you here. What you doing here this early? So anyway, that's how we met. And then what happened? Oh, Valentine's Day 2013. the day before, he sent a text out to the group after rehearsal, and I thought he was asking me, because I was like the administrative assistant of the rehearsal. I thought he was talking to only me, and I called. I said, this is too much information for me to give you over text, so I just figured I would call. He said, well, I actually sent that to everybody for individual responses. I said, okay, well, let me tell you about myself, tell you a little bit about me, I guess, because this is going way left. Long story short, we talked for about 3 hours the day before Valentine's Day, so he ended up being the first person to wish me a happy Valentine's Day on February 14, 2013, and 2 months later, we decided to start courting, and I'll let you tell
Amen. Beautiful.
You know, for the most part, you were right. I don't think I was being sarcastic.
Okay.
I think it started with you.
Okay.
But since you want to be telling jokes and being funny.
What did I do?
When I was in the eighth grade.
We're not going here.
What grade were you in?
Don't worry about that. Okay? Because I didn't know you then.
Come on, tell us things
for grade you were. I met you when you was old.
what grade you were in when I was in the eighth?
I was going to high school. What's your point?
You know, no. What grade were you in high school?
I was like a senior in high school, so what? I didn't know you in eighth
That's
grade.
That's a charge.
I didn't meet you then. I didn't meet you then, though. So how about that?
That's a charge. So
whatever.
That whole little, got me about a couple of
years. It's 3.5 years. 3.5.
Listen, that was a charge.
Whatever. But
for the most part, it was right. you know,
he told me he loved me too. At the
rough side about it.
We weren't dating then.
The rough side about it was that it was actually, I met her through her cousin's husband. He had, Melky, you be switching up. You know what?
Come on, y'all. Other
people gotta talk. We monopolizing the time. Finish.
Yeah. I met her through her cousin's husband. He had a music store right up there on Liberty Road, connected to what is it? Rehoboth Church.
Oh yeah.
So, they had one of their suites that they had down bottom, and it had a music store. So my ex actually found out about it and put me on to the store.
Shout out to her.
And I was then, you know, employed by them, and I was teaching piano lessons there and stuff like that. And then eventually it ended up closing. But when I met the guy, his name was Shannon, and, you know, he told me that he had a gospel group, so he wanted to hear me play. The pastor happened to be around, so we were able to go to the church, and he was able to hear me play and told me about the group. And that's how, you know, everything else pretty much he was dead on. So.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen.
Okay. All right. We were both sarcastic.
Okay. Denise and Bill.
Bill, how did we first meet?
Can you hear me?
Yourself.
I hear you.
Huh?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There's a delay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So you want to check, how did we first meet?
I don't know. You have to ask God that. I don't know. It was under his will and his purpose.
You don't remember, see? I knew he wasn't going to remember. I didn't answer first.
Am I allowed to say it?
How we first met?
Go ahead.
Do you remember?
You're breaking up, so I can't quite get it.
Denise, okay. Come on. Y'all going to have to come on, and we'll never get to all the answer to the questions.
I was babysitter for his uncle. His uncle lived next door to us. And one day... him and a whole bunch of his cousins came over to Uncle Morris's house. It was about 6 of the boys, basically around the same age. And that's how I first met him. I went over to Uncle Morris's house and I saw him. He was one of the 6. And okay. I I think, oh, I was 12 years old when I first met him.
Okay. All right. And how long have y'all been married?
Oh, I didn't like him when I first met him, by the way. I liked his younger brother, and his younger brother and I went out. He was my boyfriend.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing funny about that.
All right. Denise, how long have y'all been married?
In June, it will be 50 years.
Yeah.
Woo!
And oh, please don't clap. That's not fun. It's not. I give all the praise and honor to God.
Listen.
He's the only one that kept us going, kept us together.
That's right. That is true.
All right. All right.
Then, you know what I mean?
He was in Boy Scouts with my brother, and at the age of 14, my mom took me over to the church to pick my brother up from Boy Scouts. And when I went in, he saw me across the room. You know that song, when you see them across the room? Well, he saw me, and he went to my brother and asked my brother if he could take me out. And so, and when, you know, he called, my brother gave him the number because my brother said yes. And when he called, I told him he made a big mistake because he asked my younger brother and he had to ask my older brother. So I gave him a hard time from the very beginning.
Amen. Okay.
And, so that's it.
That's it. All right, Mark and Tabika is in your hands, beloved.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, first of all, we just want to say thank you for your yes to be a part of this on today. Both of you all's stories of how you met were very funny. So thank you for breaking the ice in the beginning.
Yes.
Yes, so that we can get to these questions that we want to ask. And so we would like to hear from both married couples when we ask these questions. So I hope that you're ready. So the first one, I will ask Kyle and Kid to answer first, and then we will ask Auntie and Uncle Bill to answer it next. So the first question is, what kind of work makes a marriage successful?
What kind of work makes a marriage successful?
Yes.
The first thing that came to my head was teamwork. So I'm just throwing it out there. Obviously I want to say friendship. And I say that because we often have this thing where we'll say like, I don't really like you today. Or we'll say like, I like you today. Like you, we. And so, but it's because we're friends, and even in those moments, we're both very stubborn. And even in those moments where we're like, I ain't talking to you, we're trying to give each other the silent treatment. It's like, okay, but I want my friend. So I don't really talk to nobody else. I need us to come up out of this so that I can have my friend back, because this is not working for me. Or I'd be like, just give me a hug and come on so we can get over this, because it's too much. So definitely friendship. And teamwork and being able to be honest in those moments where it's like, I don't like you today. Like, what? Like, you did X, Y, and Z. So, yeah, that's my piece.
That was good.
What? That's why you married me.
Yeah,
that's it. All right, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
I mean, I think she kind of really hit on it. It's, just the teamwork, the being open, being transparent. I know you said what kind of work, I think just having, being open and being real. And, every once in a while, you just always want to check your foundation. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of marriages fail because of what they were founded on. Mm-hmm. They were founded on a particular, maybe it might have been a need at the moment. It could have been the, I'm getting, you know, old, the time clock thing, you know, stuff like that. So I think, you know, just that revisiting the foundation is important. So.
Amen. Thank you. All right,
Auntie. I would say two things. When I was younger, my husband really was my best friend. We dated. We started dating at 14. I got rid of his brother, and but he and I were friends, and. When I didn't like him and decide, you know, I want to date someone else, I would call him up and talk to him about the other guy because he was my best friend. So, and he started dating another girl and he called me and talked to me about her. And I decided, we had broken up when we were 16, and I decided that she was not the right girl for him. She was using him. And he said, well, if you don't want me going out with her anymore, you'll have to go out with me. And so I said, I got to do my friend a favor. And I went out with him again because I had to save him from that girl. She was just a mess. So he was my best friend. That's really, I liked him. I liked the person that he was. I had asked God from very young, I prayed concerning my husband. I started praying at 12, as a matter of fact, concerning my husband. And he had the qualities that I wanted in a husband. I was never one for the looks thing. It was character issues. And he had the right character. And our first date actually was to church. Because if he wasn't going to serve God, I didn't want any part of him. And so he was right. He was a good man, even as a boy. And he would hang with the boys and do stuff with the boys. But when they got ready to get in trouble, he said, bye bye. And he would walk away. And he had no problem walking away from what was not wrong. He was an individual. He was not a follower. And I like that because I'm very individualized. I don't have to follow a crowd. I make up my own mind about things and I do what I think is right. And that's how he is. Yeah. And that's probably the only thing we do have in common. Other than that, we're different.
Okay.
Okay. Uncle Bill, do you want to share your side?
No, really, I don't want to tell you my secret. But I will.
Okay.
And, well, you know, in growing up, you know, you try a lot of things, and which I did. I tried different ways of having a marriage, you know, and finding out that a lot of things didn't work, you know, just being true to oneself. And like she said, I knew what I wanted when I was young. You know, things that I see even today, things that I do, and I haven't changed in what I say and what I do, and even the clothes I wear and the food I eat. And I am a very simple man. And I found out that those are things in life is what, to me, what creates a good marriage. It's, you know, the things that you try when you're young, you know, it's supposed to be like a man's world, but you find out that that isn't so, you know. It's keeping oneself true. And so that I found that, I put that in my marriage too. I find out that when I please her, I eventually please myself in the things that I do. And so I look for trying to help her become become a better person, and then I become one.
Amen.
I like that. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, thank you both for your both couples for your comments. What I really heard come out of that with both with all of you said, and Kyle used the word specifically was foundation. I believe it was Kyle that said, I'm sorry, but foundation. You know what the foundation of the marriage is built on. That's just a strong thing. It's just a wonderful aspect to see that both of you as aunties and nieces, you commented you guys' first date was going to church, and that being a foundation. You know, that had to be. That the man was churched, and for Kyle and Kia meeting in an environment like prayer is what actually started your interest to hear a man of God praying. So that's a foundation that I recognize is very strong and very important. Quick comment before I ask him this question, but a difference from my wife and I were we met in church, but we weren't church, if you understand what I'm saying. Our families went to church, but we weren't involved. We were going to church out of, I almost want to say tradition and not desire. We were going to church because that's just what Sunday was. You know, that's what Sunday was going to church. And our families knew each other from no long relationship or whatnot. But we didn't get to a point of growing in church until we became a part of New Vision. So for us, our relationship, our foundation, I guess I kind of got to back up because I was going through a lot of health issues, and what Bika was looking for and what I was looking for, we were able to find in one another. But our foundation became stronger once we got into a place where our foundation literally changed from our desire to God's desire for us.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen. So, I just wanted to share that. But the next question we want to ask, and my wife did some research and she found a article, and specifically one of the questions or one of the sections say God makes no mistake in choosing our life partner. So I would ask the question to both couples, and if we'll continue the same way, Kyle and Kim, we can start with you guys. But the question is it possible for Christians to choose the wrong partner after satisfying all the parameters of Scripture? And Auntie Denise, I'll definitely come back to you on this one because you mentioned the parameters of, you know, biblical standing as for what a marriage should look like and what we should be looking for. But once again, is it possible for Christians to choose the wrong partner after satisfying the parameters of Scripture?
So just want to make sure I'm getting the question correct. So is it wrong that based off of what the things that scriptures say that a Christian can still pick the wrong mate? Is that, that kind of sums it up, like paraphrase it?
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. And why do I say that? Because you can know scripture in and out and lack discernment.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh, excuse me.
Know scripture and not know him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between experiencing the Holy Ghost and feeling the Holy Ghost. Being filled, there's a difference.
Yeah.
So you can know, okay, man, to find a wife, find a good thing, take favor of the Lord, all that good stuff. You know, the man, you know, leaves his father and mother and goes to cleave to his wife and all that stuff. Yeah, you can know all that. As we would say nowadays, all the things, and still choose wrong. Because there is such thing as what we learned about called counterfeit oneness.
Mm-hmm.
So what it does is it portrays or takes on the image like this is the real deal. And it isn't. So eventually, at some point of it, it will be exposed that it's not it. So to answer your question, absolutely, you can know scripture and know, I guess, what you think you're supposed to be looking for. But if you're lacking discernment, you definitely can make that mistake.
So just to piggyback off of that, yes, you can. And I know from personal experience because I was married before Kyle. So, and I absolutely married wrong for all the wrong reasons. As Kyle mentioned in the first question, you know, you might think you're getting old. And at 25, I was like, I'm getting old and I want to have kids. And this guy's nice. I didn't like him, but I was like, he's nice. You know, I might learn to like him. We can go ahead and do this thing. He said he loved the Lord, which come to find out he didn't, but that's a whole nother story. But, you know, I was like, we just gonna go ahead and this is the Lord gonna make it all work when together, we gonna be fine. And, you know, it didn't work. And even I told Kyle walking down the aisle, like the Holy Spirit was like, turn around. Like, just, like, you don't have to do it. Like, just go. Like, you know, you really don't wanna do this, just turn around. I'm like, I can't do that. It's people here. We gonna work it out. It's gonna work. We gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine. And it wasn't. So I know from personal experience that, yes, you can marry wrong. And with Kyle, I told him, I was like, I rushed into my first marriage. I do not want to do that in this marriage. Don't ask me nothing for about 2 years. Don't ask me to marry you. Don't ask me to do, don't ask me nothing. Because my first marriage, I think it was like within nine months, we were engaged and planning a wedding. I was like, I'm not doing that this time. So you got, don't ask me anything because the answer will be no if you ask me something for 2 years. Because we need to make sure that this is what it is. Because had I waited a little bit longer in that other relationship, we would have never made it to the altar. I know. Mm-hmm. And so with this, I was like, if this is what it is, we gonna wait and we gonna see, and then it'll be fine. And it was, but yes, this chair is driving me insane. Go pray, we gonna buy a new chair. I can't do specific deal. But yes, to answer the question, yes, you can marry wrong being a Christian.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. Very, very lightly. Thank you very much. Auntie Tanise and Uncle Bill, to you guys.
My answer is yes, if you're not listening to God. You can know scripture, and like they said, the person can be in church, going to church, doing and looking right. But did you present this person before God and ask God, is this who you want me with? Because my husband had all the right things in his life. The wrong things were not in him. People told me I was fortunate to get him. I wasn't the prize. He was the prize. Like people just thought, I was the luckiest woman in the world to get Bill. Most of Bill's family is in this city, and everyone knew them, and they would tell me, you got the best one in the bunch, you know? So it was like, I got the prize. And we were married less than 2 years, and he said, I own you, and it just shut everything down. It was like, oh no, nobody owns me. And I made him miserable for 4 years because I was proving to him, you don't own me. I belong to God. I don't belong to people. I'm not your slave, you know. And so we had to rearrange things. And we had to see people, each other, the way God saw us. So even though, and during those 4 years when I was being miserable, he was going to church every week. I was not. And the reason I wasn't is because even though I had the foundation of what I wanted a Christian man, I wanted this godly man, I wasn't serving the Lord. So I wanted what was right, but I wasn't in a right place. And by punishing him for what he said, showed that my heart wasn't right. His was right in that he put up with that. And we both got saved because we were doing church just like the Fosters were saying. We had that traditional religious thing about us going on. When I got pregnant with my son, I was praying and asking God for a child. And I said, Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And I had the boy, and 4 months after my son was born, I got saved. And when I got saved, then my outlook changed, my outlook on life changed, and I started to want to be a Christian. So where I thought I was, I wasn't. But my mother had trained me right in that you pray and you ask God for a husband. You ask God for it. And so God gave me what I asked for when I was unsaved. Basically, I was unsaved, but I knew the right thing to do. I don't know how he feels about it, but, you know, he was a practicing Christian, wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. So I don't know if he ever prayed and asked God for me or not. What do you think, Bill?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm driving and I'm watching traffic.
Oh.
I mean, is the answer, I guess, to that question would be, I mean, who are we, you know, to know that that we did marry the right one, you know, if it wasn't for God telling us? It's only in years when we're with that person and all the problems, situations that we go through, that we finally find out that the one that we did marry is the right one. But at first, I don't think we're looking at that way. You know, we're looking at the outward part and not the inward. We don't know the person. We don't even know ourselves to even know that question, to answer it correctly. You know what I mean? For me to give it this advice to someone else, how do you answer that? You know, how do I tell a person? You know, I can't even tell myself. You know, I have my own problems that I brought to the table, and that have to be worked out. You know, I have my visions and my dreams and my things that I want to do in life. And does that person in herself or himself come along with that? That's the things I see, you know what I mean? Life is, you know, we run into a lot of problems, and I've always said that, you know, you're not going to know it until you have children. You're not going to know it until your husband or wife comes down sick, where you have to sit there and time have to take care of them and things like this. This is not brought out in the beginning. We don't see the whole picture before we do get married. So how do we know that we're right with the right person or not? You know, but what now I have seen what my wife has gone through, taking care of her mother, the things that she had to do. And I mean, you know, I've questioned it, and I've asked her, and I said, you know, a lot of people want to say they're taking care of somebody, but they want to put their mother and father in a home saying that, well, yeah, we're taking care of them. It's much different when they're at your house and you have to bathe them and you have to, you know, clean them and you have to feed them and you have to sit up with them. And you have to not go on vacation and forsake a lot of things that you have to do. You see, then you find out if that is the person that you actually married right or wrong. You know, the other things there are nothing, you know, compared to being put under that pressure and whether or not they hold up to it and everything. That's how I found that the one I'm with is the one that God has given me. And yes, I did marry right.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Yep. Okay. So just to quickly piggyback off of what you just said, as far as like when you knowing that you had the right person. And he mentioned about, you know, watching Auntie Denise take care of her mom. And so, you know, that's a lot, you know, that's a lot, taking care of a parent, and also being married and still have to show up in your marriage and for your kids and stuff. And so in the first few years of our marriage, Mark was sick. So I was like the nurse. I was the nurse. I was his wife. I was taking care of this rebellious child. And so it was like, a part of me felt like I was in it by myself. Like nobody around me could understand and know what I was going through. So that it was that part. And then it was a part where I wanted to like leave. Like I was contemplating between the two, like, okay, God, if I leave, he'll be okay, because he has his parents, and you know, his parents was there taking care of him first. So if I was to leave, his parents would be there again to take care of him. So I was being selfish in my thinking, but my flesh wanted to leave it, because it was like I was overwhelmed. I was doing a lot. I didn't know how to really be a wife at that moment, because the nurse part is what had to kick in. And so now I think about the fact that if I did leave, if I did just leave him, we would not be in the position that we are now. Like I would not be experiencing all the things that God wanted me to experience as his wife now, had I ran. And I think for some people, it's so easy to like throw the towel in and just say, okay, I can't do this, and that's it, and they're gone. And so I do just thank God for keeping me still in those moments when I wanted to run. So I do thank God for that.
That's right, y'all. She was going to leave all this. God bless her, because she was on her way out the door. I'm not going to tell y'all. I'm going to just tell y'all on the side. She tried to leave me like twice. She tried to get rid of me before we got married, told me I was too close. Then after we got married, she was like, I think I'm going to leave because I can't handle this. But now she's here, and glory be to God, we're going on 17 wonderful years. Mm-hmm. And had she left, she'd have been miserable without me. So I thank God.
Yeah, you're right. Amen. All right. So thank you for dealing with me in that. So the next question is one of those questions. So ladies, why are women instructed in the Bible to submit to their husbands? You know, we hear that word submit a lot, and I think there are times when people don't really know how to submit, or they look at it as if, you know, my husband is not, you know, basically like telling my husband, don't tell me what to do. He's not in control of me. And so this is what I hear a lot of people talk about a lot, is that submission part, because they don't really know what that looks like. So I want to start with Auntie Denise on this question first, and then Kia, and then we'll have Kyle and Uncle Bill answer it next.
Okay. I believe in submission. I really do. I do not believe in control, and they're different. And if my husband, well, like I said, when he wanted me to iron these pants that had concrete on them, it is like, that's concrete. And I don't want to iron them. They're scratching up my iron. The concrete is scratching my iron. But he wanted creases in his work pants. That's when we argued, and he said, I own you. So now, let me tell you, I don't iron his clothes. I don't even wash his clothes. He takes care of all that. I take care of everything else for him. Because if I don't learn to love my husband and submit to my husband, I will never learn to love God and submit to him. The word says, if you cannot obey man who you see, you will not obey God who you don't see. So I had to, within myself, be that wife that he really needed. And because in my mind, he did not receive the love that he needed growing up, I wanted to show him love. And my way to show him love was to be whatever he needed me to be. And so I do things for him, and I don't override his authority. I would never, if my husband told me to do something or, you know, like have the kids do something, I would tell. If I didn't agree with my husband, I would take him aside and talk to him, because I would never argue with him in front of my kids, you know, to tell him, no, they don't have to listen to that. And yet there was a time when I thought he was being too hard on the kids. And I said, no, when you're angry, don't you put your hands on my kids, because you're angry. I don't mind you spanking them, but you cannot spank them when you're angry. So it was a thing where I would talk to him. But my husband had the final say. He made the final decision. I don't agree with all his decisions, but I let his decisions stand, because he is the head of this house. I'm sorry. He is the Lord of this house. Yeah, right. So anyway, you know, but.
Let's get it right.
I believe in submission. I really do. I think it really, when we give the man the respect that he needs, especially our men, because they don't get respect out in the street. They don't get respect on their jobs. So I feel it's my job to build him up. It's my job to make him know just how wonderful he is. And I don't have to agree with him. But we're different. We have different personalities. But it's my job. I mean, that's what God, I believe, gives the woman. It's your job to build him. You're his helpmate. Help him. Help him. So if he needs encouragement, give it to him. If he needs to have the final say, give it to him. And if I think he's wrong, I go pray and ask God to change his mind. But I do my, and it's not rebellion, I do my thinking, my conversation, like I'll talk to him about it, but I let him have the final word. And then I go to God if I really think he's wrong and say, God, you got to change this, because this is wrong. I'm not going to tear him down and belittle him. I build him up. That's how you make a man. You build him up. You don't tear him down to make a man.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah.
Key and you.
Okay. I agree. I definitely submit to Kyle. As many of you know, I'm very strong and independent, and I like to do stuff for myself and on my own and make my own decisions, because I was doing that before we met. However, this man hears directly from the Lord. I mean, he talked to him like he's right here. So I know he's in his ear. So I know if he's saying that this is something that we're supposed to do for the house, this is what we're supposed to do for the house. I don't question it. Like he definitely is the head of our house, and I have no problem submitting to him. And sometimes we almost get not into it, but sometimes I'm like, but babe, what do you think? And he's like, well, we can do whatever you want to do. And I'm like, no, but I want you to tell me what we're supposed to do, because I'm trying to submit to you, sir, and you're telling me what I want to do. I'm asking you. So we kind of get into it, because I'm trying to submit. And he's like, but babe, whatever you want to do, I trust what you want to do. I'm like, this is not you're messing up what we're supposed to be doing here. Like, I'm supposed to be listening to what you're telling me to do. So, but yes, I absolutely do believe in submission. Like Auntie Denise said, not control, because now there's a difference. And then we're going to have to talk about it. But he doesn't do that. He's very much not, he's not overbearing. Like I said, we fight about him, about me submitting to him, because half the time he wants me, he's like, whatever you want to do is fine. So, yeah, I definitely agree that I don't have an issue with submitting. I don't know if you want to, Kyle, to go ahead and talk, okay, from a male perspective.
Oh, wait, you submit to me? Or just submission in general?
Your thoughts.
Yeah, your thoughts, Kyle.
Okay, so I think what's happened is when we, that word kind of had been stained with the definition of control, like it's already been said. Mm-hmm. I also believe that, you know, and I could be wrong, but I feel like I've tapped in on it. I believe it's God's intent that when we see submission, we don't see control, but trust.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. That's good. Very good.
So I think when we, every time we see submit, whether it's to him or to one another, he's saying trust, not so far as control. Because at the end of the day, when we look at it just in life in general, we submit to something. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not our own. You know, we have supervisors in the work world. You know, we have pastors. That's the head of the house. And we submit to, you know, the vision that God has given us and not put forth our own agenda, things like that. So I think, you know, with submission, I think the other thing is, I believe it's the scripture where it says, as you submit to one another. Let me know if I'm off, Pastor. Come on, you can let me know.
You're all right. You got it.
With that being said, I think what happens is in the growing and the knowing one another, you begin to see one another's strength. So even though she's talking about, like, I want you to make the decision, not saying that I go out and splurge, because I do not. But for whatever reason, when it comes down to the area of finances for the house, how we want, you know, where we need to put certain things, where we need to, you know, let's pay that off, let's do this. Oh, you know, we have space where we can pay for this, or we can, you know, spend a little extra here. You know, that's just the realm that God gave us. He has a whole monthly, yearly Excel spreadsheet, and she'd be like, okay, so what gig you did last week? Okay, how much was that? Okay, $300, so we put that in. And we know we got church, they take care of you every Sunday. So she... But, you know, that's just that area with her. When she talk about, you know, God being right here to me, there's times when he's right there to her. And I think that was another key thing when it comes down to submission, because I feel like there'll be certain areas that come up where God will deliver the message to the wife and not necessarily the husband. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's time where the wife's ear could be a little more in tune than the husband's ear could be. So with submission, like I said, I think if we start viewing it as a trust thing, it won't come off as so much as a dirty word or a word to avoid. Okay.
Amen. Amen.
That's good. Thank you, Kyle. Uncle Bill, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Oh, yeah. I believe what Kyle is saying is right. You know what I mean? As far as submission, what does it actually mean? You know, a lot of us have our own definitions and our own reasonings because the way we were brought up. You know, we watch mother and father, and then we take that into our marriage. And we begin to see we're also told that, you know, the woman is the weaker vessel. So we have to take control and we have to be the man of the house, so to speak. And I think a lot of these things that is being brought on us is wrong because of the definition behind it. You know, what is your intent behind everything? You know, what are you trying to control? You know, the enemy comes in and puts on a different thing, the way they want things to be brought out. And just as much as take, for instance, Adam and Eve, and a lot of times the man sometimes will give in, you know, just to get things that he wants, you know, and so he'll submit to his wife, but yet it's said that the wife is to submit to the husband, because sometimes it's according to how she comes across, you know, she comes across with the emotions and everything else, where he comes in with logic, you know, and so she'll take it on as one thing, but then he'll take it on as something different, you know, and I see it that way.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you to everyone for those wonderful comments. I love, once again, to just back up what Kyle said. I love to look at a different definition or different understanding of submission to a point of trust. You know, that's something I've always felt like, you know, God gifts us all in different areas. And the reason that the husband and wife, although they may think so different, complement one another, because what areas you may be gifted in and he may not, or vice versa, those are the areas that you can support one another in. And the submissive factor is trusting that their gifting in that particular area is the, I hate to say, the yin to your yang, or the opposite to what you need, that helps you to be that whole fit piece that God has created and God has called for. So I'm really thanking you guys both for what you shared. Because of time constraints, we're going to jump to one of the last questions. We had close to like 10 or 11 questions that we were going to be asking today. And hopefully we can continue this in another discussion. But the question that I'm going to ask this to Aunt Denise and Uncle Bill first, and then to Kyle and Kia: how has the perspective of marriage changed over the years? And Auntie Denise, because you guys said 50 years you guys have been married, and Kyle and Kia, you guys have been married 9. So how has your perspective of marriage changed over the years?
I don't believe that. People said, oh, you have to give 50-50 for the marriage to work. I don't believe that. I believe you have to give 100%. Absolutely. If you want your marriage to work, each has to give 100%, your best. And so when I look at my husband, I have to, you know, say, basically, is this how I would treat God? Is this what, you know, God would want me to do? I want to make God happy first. And it's like, how would God want me to handle it? Because and our personalities, like I say, we're different. He loves to laugh. He loves to laugh. And he tries to bring laughter and uplift, you know, situations, you know. He would say to me, Denise, let it roll off your back. Not if so much if he and I got in a argument or something like that, but more if I'm coming to him about a situation. And he would say, you know, don't let it get you down. And he said, when I know that, you know, something's not right, he said, I just let it roll off my back. He said, that way you don't get bitter inside. So he teaches me how to let go of things that would normally just wear me out. And I had to go to God and say, you know, God, what can I do to make things better? I am, people want to bring children into their life, think, oh, this will make my marriage better. Bring money, that'll make my marriage better. They look for material things. I think what makes a marriage better is God being the center of that marriage, because when both of you want to please God, you will do right by the other person. And I look for ways to just make my husband happy. You know, how can I serve him today? You know, I can be tired, I can be hurting, but does he expect this of me or that? You know, like I'm looking to please him because I feel like it pleases God, but God is the one I want to please. And so do right by this man that he has given me will make God happy as well as keep him happy. And so amen. You just give 100%.
Amen.
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 And amen. Amen.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you couldn't have picked a better couple that's opposite, you know, as far as me and Denise, because where she's more into family, I think I'm more into the other part of it. And we both need each other, because without a family, I wouldn't have a home. Without a home, she wouldn't have a family. And so in that, how can I say it? You know what I mean? Like I said, there's no book being written to where you can have a good marriage and a great marriage and a perfect marriage. But if you follow the word of God, you will find out a lot of things that you need to make this marriage work. Prayer every morning and being together, sharing one another. Problems, feelings. I mean, we do argue, fuss and fight, but at all, I think that I couldn't find a better person. You know, and I looked and I said, you know, what if this person, what about that person, you know? And I looked at their marriage and the other marriage, and I found out that there's a lot of things that, you know, we all have in common. And I think that if you just, you know, bite the bullet, so to speak, you know, bite your tongue, you know what I mean? And just give in. I think that, you know, you can make it work. You know what I mean? You really can. And, you know, to say that I would have had this and I would have had that, you know what I mean? I think that's on your own. I mean, there's a lot of things you could have had. There's a lot of things you will have, you know, if you just would both work together and talk and everything else, you know, work it out, talk it out.
Kyle and Kia, to you guys.
I don't remember the question.
Well, it's only birds.
How has marriage changed?
Oh, how has marriage,
yes.
How has marriage
changed? Your view of marriage.
Yeah, how has the perspective of marriage changed?
Well, I'll say this. One thing I've always said to you, I always said to Kia was that our marriage was bigger than us. Mm-hmm. And that it was going to be bigger than us. And over the years, just in side conversations with friends, I've been able to see how it was bigger than us. We were being watched when we didn't even know that we were being watched.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times I looked at it from the standpoint of when I said it was bigger than us, you know, people on the outside, but I didn't think about it necessarily looking at it from the standpoint of my own home. And for those that know, you know, I have an older daughter that is not by Kia. And I just remember one time, you know, while she was down here with us, and me and Kia was just kind of like just playing around, like tapping each other and stuff like that. I'm, you know, throwing little punches at her, stuff like that. Or I'll make jokes about it. And there was a point where my daughter was just smiling, like laughing, and was just like focused on us. Like she was just like taking it all in, like almost to the point where it was kind of like, okay, like this is what it's supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we never let them see us be on like, go on to like some ride points. I mean, she might see, you know, little moments where we kind of like side eye each other or something like that, just so that she know that there is a balance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The full picture of it, you know, it was, you know, she was just sitting there and she was just like, almost like she was still, you know, stood still and was just like smiling. So I was like, you know, that's another one of those areas where the marriage is bigger than us. The other thing is the when the word tells us about we love our wives as Christ loved the church. Like the understanding of that like changed over the years. It became a more intimate scripture for me, you know, being to the point where it would be some things that would bother her. Then I'm like, yo, are you serious? Like, you're serious? And, you know, I'll be like, bro, that weak Lord. But over time, just and growing and knowing her, that even when I feel like it's something not, you know, to, you know, that's not of heavy weight, because of how it makes her feel, I then apply the same weight to it. You know, I might say, hey, you know, it's a little issue, or like, why are you, you know, so overwhelmed by something so small? But because going back to, I believe that, you know, with Christ, how he loves the church, that even the smallest things that we go before him with, saying, God, this bothers me, he still carries it with the same weight and moves because he's understanding what we're feeling in that moment. So in that same posture, I kind of begin to learn how to operate to be like, look, like that's bothering her that heavy. You know, hey, like, let me put value on what she's feeling. And it's a constant, you know, with marriage, it's always evolving. Mm-hmm. You're always learning. You're always growing. There's always new factors coming into place that he didn't know what was there. And you're like, whoa, where'd that come from? Like, yo, are you serious? Or, you know, there's always that, I never knew that about you. So it's always evolving. And as the more you embrace the differences, you know, you begin to kind of like, really kind of value it even more and embrace the differences and all this stuff like that. So, yeah. So, yeah. And I know I gotta go. But thank you for the topic, because now I know the sanctuary will be open. Peace.
Oh my gosh.
Really, Kyle? Yeah. Wait a minute, I'm gonna say my little piece.
Okay.
My view, okay. Kind of to piggyback off of what Kyle said, I mean, essentially, we're still, my view hasn't necessarily changed, but we're evolving daily. And I said to him, I want to do a 10-year vow renewal, because I said, I feel like my vows will mean more to me now than they did when we first got married, because I didn't know, I mean, I was going into it with hope that, yeah, this is going to work out, and I'm saying this stuff, and I really hope that this happens, but now it's like we're seeing the fruits of everything that we said. So it's like now that walk down the aisle to this man, or that those words that I'm saying have so much more value because we've actually gone through some stuff than that first day where we don't really know what's getting ready to happen. We just hope and praying for the best. So my view has changed, just because I know that this truly is who I'm supposed to be with, you know what I mean? And I'm willing to do what we have to do to sustain that, so that we are at 50 years. 50 years from now, we'll be, you know, having this conversation with another younger couple. So,
amen. We just want to say thank you to the Medleys and the Fosters. Thank you for your input. Thank you for being open and transparent. And we truly appreciate all that you have shared with us on today. And so we do this because there are going to be other newly married couples that may be going through a little struggle, and they may need somebody else that's been in it to like give them hope and insight. So to God be the glory for all he has done in your marriage. So right now we're just going to open it up for other people to ask some questions, because it's nearing time to, you know, for service to end. So if anybody has any questions that they would want to ask, please go ahead. No questions. I know somebody has a question. Nobody?
Right. If not a question, a comment. And if not a comment, then I get to talk.
Oh, no.
Okay, well, Apostle.
All right. And this was, even if y'all didn't have any questions, this was definitely a point in time where y'all could make a comment about it. So I just want to thank the couples again, you know, for being transparent. Oh, and Bill, please let me say this, dear. The request has been, could you show your face at least once so we could see the man that has been talking to us? I know you were driving. I don't know if you still are, but is there any pop? There he is.
He made it home.
I couldn't get it on my phone. I don't know what I was doing. I was pushing.
This is why he needs me.
Another 15 years. I'll be back.
Amen. Apostle, can I say one thing that just popped in my head? I want to say thank you to you. And I say this to a lot of couples because, Apostle, when Kyle and I started dating, she was like, if y'all think that y'all are going to get engaged, I want y'all to do pre-engagement counseling before you even, no premarital, like we're going to do this pre-engagement before you buy rings and get family involved and all of that. So I really appreciate you for that, because that was a huge help. And we still use the things that you taught us in Simbus even now, even with the whole, what did you hear me say versus this is what I said and right. All that stuff. So thank you to you, because that was that we still use those tools to this day.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. To God be the glory.
That is good, because we didn't have any tools when we were growing up. It was trial by error.
Apostle, if I could ask you, since it is being recorded, could you tell us what Simbus actually is? So those that don't know, I do know myself, you know, you told us about it, but some of the couples or those that may be listening or go back and listen don't know what that tool is. So could you tell us what that is and how people can actually find those resources?
Very good, dear. Very good. Simbus, spelled S-Y-M-B-I-S, Simbus. Simbus is it's a premarital counseling, and it's not so much, yeah, it's counseling. It's helping you to make yourselves aware of each other in many different areas of your life. And Kia said, you know, I promote it being, and I'll tell what the word Simbus means, but I promote it if you think that there's any possibility that you may get more involved, I promote doing it before the pre-engagement. Most of the time, people who get quote unquote premarital counseling, they get it after they've dated, after they become engaged, after they've set the wedding date, after they got the family all involved, and then they want at the last minute, the last thing on their list to do, well, let's do the premarital counseling so we can say we've done it. You know, they've already gone through all of that. And if through the premarital counseling, you find out, you know, this is not really a good fit, but now you've involved everybody in it. So premarital counseling stands for Simbus stands for save your marriage before it starts. That's what it stands for. Save your marriage before it starts. And mm-hmm. you can contact me through the website as far as how to well, all of y'all on here know me and know my number, how to actually do these simbas. And they now have it for married people, married people, second marriages, Simbas makes its adjustment, you know, to the questions on what it is that has to be done. So you can get in touch with me to get the assessment. The assessment is $35 per couple, not per person. It is $35 per couple. And you'll get some great results from it. And thank you, son. Thank Mark. Thank you so much. And thank you, Kia. Thank you, honey.
Amen. So real quick, Apostle, just to let you know, you'll be doing Mark and ours 20-year vow renewal, because we didn't get all this, you know, in our marriage or whatever. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, dang, I wish we knew Apostle back then so she could have married us. And so just know that you will be doing our 20-year vow. That's in 3 years, okay?
Okay, all right.
You save your money because we're going somewhere out across the water. So yeah, don't shake your head. We're going somewhere across the water for that. So y'all say all y'all invited because you're all family. You're all family. And we are blessed, so blessed to call New Vision for Life our family. So to God be the glory that we have you guys in our lives, in our marriage, in our hearts, and in our homes. And we all have that with another under this beloved leader. So before we close, or before we go any further, if we could just give a round of applause for our beloved shepherd, because she has done so much for our marriages, for our ministries, for our lives. And we are honored to give God praise for the woman of God that we have been blessed with. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God.
All right, beloved, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I just saw Malkia's a comment. Good session. Thanks to all of the couples for your authenticity. And yes, I totally agree with it. I totally agree with that. And we definitely will have to do this again. And we'll do something also where we're pulling our couples together in person, you know, pulling them together in person, because there are things, again, that as couples you deal with, you know, that you'll bless each other in sharing with each other. So thank you again. Thank you for your vulnerability. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I cannot tell you enough. Thank you. All right, beloved. Now you know why we did everything in the beginning. Amen. So that we could have this time. So with all of that in mind, now, beloved, above all things, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone else. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings that he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. Therefore, I beseech you in the name of Jesus that you go forth from this day and be a blessing to someone on this day and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. Know that I love you with all my heart. But no matter how much I love you, know that God loves you more. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a good day.